Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
This hour of The Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Happy Friday, everybody. It is after 5 o'clock. So, you know that expression, it's 5 o'clock somewhere? It's 5 o'clock here. So, knock 'em back, as Kenny Chesney would say. Sue, traffic's moving along.
Yeah, it's pretty good, Mike. Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. If you want to pull over to a bar, go ahead and have a beer. It's after 5 on Friday. You're there. We are going to talk with Missouri Chamber of Commerce Legislative Director Jared Hankinson, who is joining us on the line. Jared, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you?
I'm better now that I get a chance to talk with you, man. I think the last chance I saw you was at Jeff City when session was about to wrap up, and we were at the Missouri Chamber office with a bunch of folks from the St. Charles and O'Fallon Chamber of Commerce, and you were updating us on everything you thought was going to happen with session.
Yeah, everything that we thought was going to happen. Thankfully, some of those thoughts did pan out. Some things went differently, but hey, you all have such a great group with those local St. Charles County-based chambers. It's always fun to have you all to the office and talk about what we got going on.
Well, I appreciate folks like you who are keeping your thumb on the pulse of everything that's going on. I mean, I know you and I got to know each other when you were working at Governor Parson's office, and then you've been with the chamber for how long now have you been over there?
Almost a year. It's not quite there, but it was October of last year that I made the switch from the Parson team to join the chamber, and it feels like it's been more than a year, though. Let me tell you, you know, talk about keeping the finger on the pulse. There's plenty to keep up with in the legislative session, so that short year has felt like a very long one, I can tell you that much.
Well, it does feel like you've been there longer, and I want to talk to you in a little bit about kind of the session as a whole, anything surprise you and that kind of stuff. But I want to lead off by kind of talking about the veto session and things that have gone there. Missouri's paid sick law was one of the things that we talked about when we were up there with the Missouri Chamber. And just to kind of update everybody on what was going on with this, this was what we kind of referred to as the minimum wage law back then, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you've got it exactly right. It was Proposition A is what most folks would probably recognize it as. That was something that was on the 2024 ballot that folks voted on, and we took that on as kind of our number one priority through the legislative session to kind of get some reform to what Proposition A implemented. Thankfully, we've got some great legislators and some great grassroots advocates that were really able to help us do some education on the detrimental consequences of Prop A getting put into effect. And we championed House Bill 567 with Representative Sherry Gallick that brought that reform. So it was an arduous process, but, you know, we're very happy to be able to report that actually just yesterday, Governor Kehoe signed House Bill 567 and all of those kind of egregious overregulations of government onto business have since been rescinded or will be rescinded effective August 28th.
But I think it's important for people to understand you didn't take issue with the Missouri minimum wage part of that legislation, right?
Yeah, you've got it exactly right, Mike. The minimum wage issue was not really the focal point for us. Our major concern was with some of the egregious requirements that government was placing on businesses to provide paid sick leave in a one-size-fits-all model. And that's something that is not sustainable for small businesses, grocers, restaurants, you know, medium-sized manufacturers. Applying a one-size-fits-all paid sick leave mandate onto businesses in Missouri, it wasn't going to be sustainable. And you know, Mike, I know that you've been heavily involved in the business community in St. Charles, and you've probably seen this firsthand. What works for a Boeing is not going to work for, you know, the small mom and pop restaurant or the, you know, like my father, the self-employed chiropractor in St. Louis County. They're just not going to be able to afford some of the things that were implemented with Proposition A. And that paid sick leave mandate would have, you know, in my father's example, being a self-employed chiropractor in St. Louis County, he would have had to include hundreds of thousands of dollars of cost into his business model. And that money just isn't coming in. And there's no way for him to plan for that. There's no way for him to bring in that additional revenue. And he would have had to look at, okay, I'm going to have to either let some of my employees go, I'm going to have to cut back hours, or in the worst case, I might even have to close my business.
So tell me a little bit about the annual consumer price index adjustment with the minimum wage and how that works in the bill. Like, did that part survive moving forward?
Yeah, so the Proposition A originally, it did raise the Missouri minimum wage to $15 an hour, but on top of that, it would have required the state to adjust their minimum wage on an annual basis by the percentage increase in CPI. So say we had a 2% CPI increase from, you know, 2025 to 2026, the state of Missouri would have had to have raised their state minimum wage by that same percentage. And glad to be able to report out that that CPI ladder system did not is not going to be maintained. House Bill 567 did repeal that annual CPI adjustment. So yes, we are. We do have, effective August 28th, a $15 minimum wage in the state of Missouri, but businesses have the security of knowing, hey, I'm locked in there, and I'm not going to have to continuously be adjusting pay scales based on CPI every year moving forward.
We're talking with Jared Hankinson from the Missouri Chamber office out of Jeff City. I want to go back to other parts of the veto session. The governor really broke out, I won't even say a scalpel, I'll say he broke out a meat cleaver and took it to the budget. How much did he end up cutting out? Was it $500 million that he took out of the budget?
Yeah, you're ballpark, you're pretty much spot on in the $500 million area. You know, there's fluctuation, give or take, you know, tens of millions within that. But $500 million is a good way to describe it.
A million here, a million there. Before long, you add up to real money.
You know what? And it definitely is a skewed perspective when you're, you know, having spent time in the governor's office like I did, you know, being a part of the budget process. When you're talking about billions of dollars, you start to throw those millions around like they don't mean much. But really, these are massive spending cuts that the Kehoe administration had to carry out. But I will say, to their credit, you know, they did it in a fiscally responsible way. They did it in a way that still prioritized communities and made sure that folks were able to continue receiving the service or seeing the benefits that they truly needed. But they're also looking out for Missouri's fiscal future for years to come. You know, they're hard decisions that the Kehoe administration had to make. But I think they made the right decisions. They kept funding going in the right way. And then they made decisions that were challenging, but said, hey, maybe this isn't the best use of funds now to make sure that we're able to be strong and secure in the future.
Anything that happened with the veto session that you went, wow, I didn't expect that to happen?
So, and it, just a point of clarity, special session did
wrap
up.
Sorry, special session.
No, there's so many different sessions going on, Mike. It's hard to keep up with them sometimes.
Veto's not until this fall, so I'm already down the road, right? So let's back up and do special session. Thanks for clarifying that.
No, of course. So, yeah, special session did wrap up relatively recently. Veto session will be later in the fall. You know, I again, give credit to the Kehoe team and kudos to the Kehoe team. They had a massive economic development package centered around the Chiefs and the Royals teams, you know, taking steps to keep those teams here in the state of Missouri. Those teams collectively, they bring in over $1 billion of revenue to our state a year. That's critical funding that supports our public education, supports our hospitals, supports our transportation network. And, you know, there were a lot of people that were very skeptical of Governor Kehoe's ability to get that economic development package across the finish line. But, you know, if you spent any time in Jeff City, you've probably heard the phrase, Mike Kehoe is a winner. And he proved that in the special session. His economic development package made it across the finish line. They took a critical step to try to keep the Chiefs and the Royals here. And I give kudos to his entire team for that uphill battle that they took on and had success with.
Were there some folks who got cut that kind of surprised you that they didn't make it through the budget?
There were a few. You know, there's always, through the budget process in any given year, there are winners and losers. And some years there are more winners and some years there are more losers. There's a few things that, you know, I looked around at and was surprised to see some of the funding decision, the cut decisions that were made. You know, I think of kind of in your neck of the woods, Mike, a law enforcement training center.
Yeah.
That some funding was cut there. But, you know, again, I think it's that give and take of, how can we support our community and still be fiscally responsible? Governor Kehoe had success passing a massive public safety bill this past session that is really going to reform public safety in the St. Louis area and across the entire state of Missouri. It's that give and take where we had success with public safety here, so let's be fiscally responsible and not spend an extra, you know, $11 million on a public safety training center over here. So there were some surprises, but I think overall they did the best job that they could have done.
I think with the Center for Advanced Training for Law Enforcement Training in O'Fallon and St. Charles that they put together that you're talking about, they put the $4 million. It sounds like they didn't cut it, but they put it on hold. And they're going to wait and see if the money is there at the end of the year or something, if I remember that correctly, which, to be honest with you, that part really ticked me off because I really want to see our law enforcement community get all the tools and training that they can get, because I think the more tools and the more training leads to safer communities. But we'll see if that works itself out by the end of the year. Going through session, what was some of the bigger things that we haven't already talked about that the Missouri Chamber said, this is a big win for small business?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I have to point to is Senate Bill 4. Senate Bill 4 was sponsored by Senator Mike Searpoy from the Kansas City area, and this was one of the largest utility regulatory reform bills that we've ever seen in the history of the state of Missouri. Folks may not know this, but Missouri is facing an energy crisis. You know, our projections 3 to 5 years out show that Missouri is not going to be producing enough power to support those, you know, small mom and pop businesses. And if we don't do anything now, those businesses are going to be looking at a reality where maybe the lights aren't coming on, or maybe they're suffering rolling blackouts or rolling brownouts in their communities. Senate Bill 4 was a step in the right direction to allow our investor-owned utilities in the state of Missouri, like Ameren, allow them some more flexibility in their ability to invest in new energy generation units. And that creates security for Missouri's business community, knowing that I have reliable power, my grid is going to be strong, and my grid is going to be able to grow so that the community I'm in is going to be able to be competitive in attracting a new economic development project, bringing more jobs, bringing more population, and further supporting that business. So very happy to see Senate Bill 4 have made it across the finish line. But really, again, Mike, I have to turn back to House Bill 567.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Proposition A reform, it was obviously a very controversial bill, and there was a lot of legwork that went into getting that across the finish line. But I cannot undersell the benefit that is going to be to the state of Missouri and keeping our small businesses thriving, keeping our large employers that really drive Missouri's economy in a position where they're able to call Missouri home. So between Senate Bill 4 and House Bill 567, I think we saw a lot of really great things for Missouri businesses and for Missourians themselves.
Well, and I want to tell you, kudos to you, because you are the first person that I had run into who was talking about the energy need that we have in the state of Missouri. And mm-hmm. I know there's been some talk around the country of what is affectionately being called as mini nukes and the small modular reactors that they're talking about and getting there, because everybody wants to do data centers and AI, and everybody keeps talking about that. But what they aren't talking about is how much power is needed to run a data center, and what AI, with all the things that it could do, it's going to eat a ton of power. And we're going to have to figure that out. So I appreciate the fact that you put that on my radar, because I had never heard Missouri is facing that struggle to where in just a few years, we are not going to be able to keep up with the energy needs that we currently have in the state of Missouri, much less everything that's going to get added to us. So before I let you go, what's the big thing on the Missouri Chamber's radar that you are going to be working on over the coming year?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. And I think one of the great things about the Missouri Chamber of Commerce is we have such a broad portfolio. You know, we've got a very wide umbrella, and a lot of people are able to work with us, and we're able to take on a lot of great projects. With that said, if everything is a priority, nothing is a priority. So we do have to focus. And I learned that from Governor Parson. You know, that's a lesson that has stuck with me from him. With that in mind, though, one of the things that we continuously hear from business leaders across the state, whether they're small businesses or large businesses, is that access to high quality, affordable childcare, or maybe the lack of access to high quality, affordable childcare, is the number one obstacle to them growing their workforce. You know, we look at the pandemic in 2020, the demographic that exited the workforce at the highest volume was women, college educated women that are also mothers. A lot of that demographic is choosing to stay home ever since the pandemic, and they're realizing, hey, I don't have the childcare options to put my kid in a safe place, in a place that I trust that they're getting high quality care. So I'm just not going to go to work. So one of our priorities at the Missouri Chamber of Commerce is legislation that would expand access to high quality, affordable childcare, bring new sites online, and allow people to get back into the workforce knowing that their children are well taken care of. And we look forward to having success on that priority in the year ahead.
Well, I appreciate you making some time on a Friday after 5 to have a conversation with us about everything that's been going on with the legislature, especially updating what this new bill looks like going into effect, and what that's going to mean for especially Missouri small business owners. So, Jared, I hope you have a great weekend, and thank you again for making the time.
You too, Mike. Thank you for having me, and any time for you, my friend. The great and powerful Mike Elam. Happy to be here.
Oh, look at that. I love that. He doesn't even live in St. Charles, and I still got that. So I love that. Have a good one. That is Jared Hankinson. He is the Vice President of Governmental Affairs for the Missouri Chamber of Commerce. Great guy, and it's always good to talk with folks who kind of have their thumb on the pulse of what's going on, because, you know, the Missouri legislature can do an awful lot. And sometimes, especially a year like this year, unlike the past couple that we had, they started passing a ton of bills. At one point, you actually had something happen that never happens. The Missouri Senate passed more bills than the Missouri House. And that's something that does not happen on a regular basis. I wonder why that happened. But could be we had different people who were there this year. But they got an awful lot done. So if you don't have somebody who's keeping an eye on what's going on, it's very easy to have things happen. You went, oh, I missed that one. And you find out in the wash how it all works out, as Miranda Lambert would say. Sue's got a look at traffic. Coming up later on this hour, we're going to talk with Bob O'Loughlin, who is the chairman and the CEO of Lodging Hospitality Management. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Hope your Friday afternoon is starting off well, and thanks for listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.